At 8:23, this is KERA News. I'm Sam Baker. As early voting continues across North Texas, a candidate in the Irving mayoral race will be allowed to remain on the ballot. Elvia Espino sued to remove Christy Pena from the ballot, but a Dallas County judge denied her request yesterday. Espino alleged Pena violated the state's election code because she didn't get enough verified signatures of registered voters to place her on the ballot. A state appeals court last month ordered Irving officials to put Pena's name on the ballot after her application was denied. The city secretary couldn't confirm 5 of the 38 signatures Pena submitted, and that left her 3 names short of the number she needed to get on the ballot. 4 candidates in all now hope to replace Beth Van Dyne. She decided not to seek another term. Check out our municipal elections guide at keranews.org. High school debaters from the Dallas School District challenged one another last night in the first ever Mayor's Cup contest. They debated a hot topic right now in the state legislature, school vouchers. Victor Pena, a senior at Thomas Jefferson High, shared the victory with Kathy Wynn, a North Dallas High junior. Pena said it wasn't really about beating his opponents.
Honestly, I don't think this is a win for our debate team. I think this is more of a win for team debate because Dallas Urban Debate Program is, like, it's helped me a lot. Even for the people that lost, they've also been blessed by this program that we have today.
The competitors are members of the Dallas Urban Debate Alliance. The 10-year-old organization encourages Dallas ISD kids to get involved in competitive, academically rigorous debates. Tomorrow marks President Trump's 100th day in office. All week, NPR's project, A Nation Engaged, has been looking into the question, how powerful should any American president be? In our Friday conversation, Rick Holder pitched that question to Rita Kirk. She teaches at SMU and heads the McGuire Center for Ethics and Public Responsibility.
Are there historical object lessons about presidential power that we should look at?
Plato, for example, suggested that the best form of government that anybody could have is a benevolent dictator. Well, that hasn't gone so well in all kinds of ways.
They tend not to be benevolent.
You know, and our founding fathers were so distrustful of power by a centralized authority that they really wanted to make sure that that didn't happen in the United States. So historically, the way that they framed the Constitution was to keep anybody from having power for long and certainly from having too much of it.
With presidents kind of bucking up against those constitutional limits,
right.
Has that role changed over the centuries?
It has. In 1952, when Harry Truman tried to federalize the steel mills during the Korean War because of labor strikes, the court ruled that he had gone a little far. And if he had gotten congressional approval, he would have been okay. And so the limit on that power really comes from Congress. So if you have congressional approval, the president has even more power. If you don't, you have less power. So at least authority to carry things out.
Now, obviously, militarily, the notion of power has changed over the years, too, especially over the last 15, 20, 30 years.
Right. 9/11 changed a whole lot of things. Even before 9/11, Clinton had broadened the powers yet once again in terms of handling of Bosnia and various places, hotspots around the world. But once 9/11 happened and the American public was really scared, we were uncertain about what was going on. And certainly one of the major powers of the president is to keep us safe. He is the commander in chief. So Congress authorized use of force in ways that they had never done before. So he could do anything as commander-in-chief in order to prosecute the people that were involved in the 9/11 attack or planned
it. President George W. Bush.
That's right. I think the other part of it that's kind of interesting is that when a president declares a war on terror and not a war on another nation, when does it ever end? I mean, when it's a nation state, we kind of know who's defeated and, you know, they sign the treaty. How do you ever end a war on terror? So it leads me to believe that these powers are perpetual now.
How important is that relationship with Congress in a president's power?
You know, it's absolutely critical for presidential power. The courts have ruled that if there's congressional authority behind a president's action, so in this case, the Use of Force Act with George W. Bush granted him virtually unlimited power to do what was necessary. But if Congress backs it, you can, in essence, become the supreme power in the entire government. If Congress does not approve, they're really restricted to the powers granted by the Constitution.
I know your specialty is communication. I wonder how important you think the projection of power, the kind of public image of power, is in reflecting the real power of a president.
That's critical. You may recall in Kissinger's memoirs, he talks about trying to end the Vietnam War, and the Paris talks were just bogged down. Nothing was really happening. And at one point, he talks about saying, you know, all options are on the table, even a limited nuclear strike. And the Vietnamese weren't sure that he meant it. And Kissinger replied, and this is my paraphrasing of his remarks, I don't know, Nixon's crazy. You know, it could happen. And I think there is that uncertainty that we see from Nixon that we also see in Trump. But after the two bombings that we've had now, there's no doubt that he has the will to do it. Mm-hmm. And the question is, will he have to? Will he feel a need to? And is it an imperative thing that we do in order to protect ourselves? But uncertainty can be an issue of power, right? Certainly, if you read The Art of the Deal, you get the idea of what it's like to be a business person, where you want the opposition to always be a little uncertain of what's next. You may have clear goals in mind. It doesn't mean that anybody else understands the strategy to get there.
At what point can you really start judging a president on how powerful they are?
Most historians will say you have to wait at least 20 years to have any sense of what actually happened in the past, just to try to sift through the many things that did or didn't happen and the things that come out that you didn't know about at the time.
So we'll be talking about Donald Trump in 2037.
Right, right. It'll be a while.
Rita Kirk, Director of the McGuire Center for Ethics and Public Responsibility at SMU. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
High near 87 in the forecast today, mostly cloudy as well. It's 71 degrees now in Dallas, 69 in Fort Worth.